Let's all stand together and sing hymn number 252. 252. Seated, we'll sing hymn number 75. Hymn number 75.
Every passing hour.
Have your Bibles with you this evening. I'd like to read from the book of Ephesians. Read Ephesians chapter 3. I had a hard time deciding what to read tonight. I wanted to read about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus to the Apostle Paul. And that led me to Ephesians 2 about being saved by grace. And I was looking in my notes, and I read that not too long ago. So we're going to read, see what's next in Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Our most high and heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, we come to you once more with our heads and our hearts bowed before you in your holy presence. We come boldly through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mystery it is, Lord, that you allow us to bow before you. For no eye hath seen thy glory, Lord, except through what you reveal to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You've given us a glimpse. Lord, we know that you're almighty and all-powerful, righteous, a just God. Lord, we thank you for everything you have taught us, everything you've given us and provided us through your Lord, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may have a salvation, free salvation. For the least of all, Lord, as we've read, Lord, everyone you've revealed yourself to, Lord, we all know that we are the least of all. And you are all and in all. Father, we ask that you would send your Spirit among us this evening. We ask that you would cause us to honor thy name, to glorify thy name, to worship you, Lord. Let us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Ingrain in our hearts the things of thy word. Teach us the gospel, Lord, and teach us thy way. Keep us here tonight, Lord, as you have so faithfully, Lord. You have kept us. We ask that you would continue to keep us. We heard in the truth this morning, Lord, that we cannot keep ourselves, Lord, but we trust and know that you can keep us. We trust that you will. Lord, just as we trust that you will provide, as you have all this time. Lord, we pray that thy word go forth among this congregation, among this community, among your sheep, wherever they be, all across this world, Lord, that your word would go forth and bring forth fruit as you see fit. Lord, let us not meet in vain tonight. Let us meet with you. We ask for mercy and grace and strength for those who are weak and weary, those who are unable to be here, and those who are weak of heart, Lord. We trust that you will provide grace and strength for tribulations which you send. Lord, we know not the needs of everyone, but we know that you do, more so than we know ourselves. We ask that thy will be done for Christ's sake. Amen. Hymn number 449.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin. Purchase of blood to every
Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.
Great things he hath taught us. Great things he hath done.
And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son.
But purer and higher and greater will be
our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son,
and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.
Psalm 91. Changed our meeting, I think, to the 15th through the 17th, weekend before Thanksgiving. So I'll have to see if that's all right with the preachers, I ask. But I want you to look with me. I'm going to read this psalm and then come back and use verse 11 for my text. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Imagine being under the shadow of God Almighty. God's shadow over you, protecting you, keeping you from the heat and the summer. And I will say of the Lord, this is what I'm going to say about him, he is my refuge. Got a place to hide. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's a fort all the way around me. My God, in him will I trust. Surely, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. They set snares to catch birds. Satan catches snares for us. And he'll not only save us from the snare of the fowler, but from the noisome pestilence. I love this. He shall cover thee with his feathers. You know, he talked about bearing. He come to Israel and he bare them on eagle's wings. Carried them on eagle's wings. Shall cover thee with the... You know, God don't have feathers. We understand that. But he speaks in language that makes it such a blessing to us. Makes it encouraging to us and comforting to us. He shall cover thee with his feathers. And under his wings, that's where you go trust. You know, he's going to spread them wings. Get under them. Get under them, he says. And oh, he told Israel, how often would I have gathered you under my wings as a hen doeth gather her chicks, but you would not. But oh, I will. Oh, Lord, please put me under your wings. And thou shalt trust his truth. His blessed truth shall be my shield and be my buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall come not nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, the place where you live, your habitation. You made it the place where you want to live. You made it where you want to stay. And neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up, this is about our Lord Jesus Christ, shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thereby thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now I want to get my subject back up there in verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. In all thy ways is the title of my message this evening. In all thy ways. In all thy ways. And I want you to look, you keep Psalm 91, look over here in Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 3. I want you to look at this, chapter 3 and verse 5. In all thy ways, you know there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways are the end of death. But look what he said over here in Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, the believer has his share of troubles in this life. And yet he's kept in safety. God keeps us. He's kept us in safety all these years. Through all the trials, with all the troubles, all the sorrows, all the weeping, all the worry, and all the fret, and all the sleepless nights, he's kept us through all of them. Kept us through all of them. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, if we're walking, and God made a way for us to walk in, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he says that he will be with us, be our shield and our buckler, and that he'd send angels. Angels charge over you. And you know the Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says that the angels are sent to be ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation. You know, they asked the question, whoever did say is give his angels charge over thee? But under the Son, he says, thy throne is forever and ever. But are not they ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that shall be heirs of salvation? God's got angels that see sins to protect us. You've heard of guardian angels. God said he actually does send angels to protect us. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, be careful who you offend one of these little ones, because their angel does always behold the face of their Father which is in heaven. Oh, God said, you know, you got an angel, and they're looking up at God. And that's what he's talking about there. And oh my, what does the psalmist mean by thy ways? Well, thy ways are the ways which every believer walks in this world. I believe they do. Job said it this way. He said, the Lord knows the way that I take. He knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth again. He knows that I have not turned from his way. And I know this, that God's ways are not our ways. He cares for our person, and he cares for our ways. And you know, none of us want to lose our home. None of us want to lose our health. None of us want to lose our liberty or lose our lives. But oh, a thing that I don't want to lose, I don't want to lose the way. I don't want to lose the way. I don't want to leave the way that Christ brought us in. I don't want to leave that way. I don't want to lose the way that God prescribed for me in this world. It's when we get out of the ways that we're in danger. When we get out of the ways, we go our way. We go the way we think, the way we feel. And oh, that's a dangerous thing to go the way, you know, let our emotions, let our thoughts, and let our reasoning. That's why he said, you know, trust in the Lord with thine own heart and lean not to your own understanding. And oh, the ministry for God's elect are threefold. First, he said, he shall give. He shall give. He shall give. That's what he said there. He said, he shall give his angels. This is what God's elect, he said. And then they're official. He's the one that gives them. And then they're personal. Over thee. You personally. Over you personally. And it'll be constant in all your ways. It'll be constant. It'll be constant. Well, what are the ways that he's talking about? And you notice it says there in that, it said, in all thy ways, not way, all thy ways. That's plural. That's plural. The believer's ways, let me tell you the first way of a believer. It's the way of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. That's the way that we take. When God directs our steps and directs our way, he brings us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Hebrews 11, it's all about faith. Faith is the substance. It's got substance to it. But what is it? It's the substance of things we hope for. And then he started talking about this faith. We understand that the worlds, this world and everything in it, was built and framed by the word of God. And then he started out with Abel. You know, said these all obtained a good report. Who gave them a good report? God did. Then he talked about Abel and his sacrifice. Talked about Enoch walking with God, and God took him. Then he talked about Abraham and how God called him to go out, and he went out. So the ways of all these people are the ways of faith. You know, Hebrews 11 tells us, look over and leave Hebrews 10. And, you know, look in Hebrews 10. Just look at this over here in Hebrews 10, verse 38. You know, we look the way of faith in Christ. That's what we're saying tonight. To God be the glory. Great things he hath taught us. Great things he hath brought us. Great things. And oh, abide with me. Oh, God, abide with me. You know, and it says here, in verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. Now you know this is mentioned three times in the scriptures. It's this word, just, the just shall live by faith. It's mentioned in Habakkuk. It's mentioned in Galatians. And it's mentioned here in Hebrews. It's mentioned three times. And I tell you, you break this thing down, the just. How in the world does a man get just? Where does he get justice from? Where does he get to be made just from? God has to make a man just. God declares a man just. God clears a man of all guilt and acquits him of all of his sin. And then he lives. He has to live in this world. And he lives. A man that lives, I mean, he lives, he moves, he has his being. And the just, he has to live in this world. We live here. I get up of a morning, you get up of a morning, you go through your day, you get to the end of your day, you go to bed, and you know, and what during that time? You're living. And the just shall live. They're living. Well, how in the world are they going to live? By faith. By faith. By faith in who? It's not by faith in what. Our faith is in a person, a blessed person, a glorious person. And he goes on to say now, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, he goes backwards. He said, I'm going to go back from this. Look what it says. My soul shall not have no pleasure in him. I won't be pleased in that. But there's the difference between them that draw back and them that don't. There's the difference between the just living by faith and them that don't. But we are not of them. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. That word perdition means damnation. Judas was the son of perdition, the son of damnation. And he said, we're not of them that draw back unto perdition. But listen to this. But that believe to the day our souls are saved. You know, Peter said it like this. There comes a time when our faith comes to an end. Peter said, you know, over in 1 Peter, he says, our faith being much more precious of gold, though it be tried with faith, it's much more precious than gold, and being tried for you, that your faith shall have an end. One of these days, our faith will cease to be. God's got an end to when our faith is going to end. And when our faith ends, that's when sight starts. When faith, God's got a time when our faith, we won't need it anymore. But as long as we're living in this world, we need faith. And we need faith in a person. And I bless his holy name. Oh my. And I thought only that, but here, you know, we have faith in his obedience. In his obedience. In his righteousness. I wished I could remember where it was. I know where it's at, but I hate to take time to look for it. But it says, you know, that bringing every thought unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's not bringing every thought to our obedience, but bringing every thought and imagination unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. And everything in our mind is brought back to what Christ did, what Christ accomplished, the salvation he accomplished, to his obedience. And beloved, his righteousness. God, if he ever looks at us outside of Christ, as I used to say, you're gone, Jesse. But oh my, this is the way of a believer, the way of faith in Christ. Faith in his blood that put our sin away. Oh, him, faith in Christ is our only acceptance with God. One of the preachers, I believe it was David Edmondson preached last week. He preached on accepted in the beloved. You know what it's to be accepted of God? God accepting your person, accepting you as you are, accepting you with all your weaks, with all your failures, all your frailty, and all your sin, and all your ups, and all your downs, and all your changes that you go through. God accepting you as you are. In Christ. Oh, our only acceptance with God. It always says plainly, said, no man can come unto the Father but by me. And oh my, he's our only mediator. Oh, he's our only mediator. God, only way in the world God will approach us and we can approach him is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, this is one thing. It's about the way of a believer. We know that without him, we can do nothing. We know nothing. We have nothing and are nothing. A bunch of zeros. If I had a pen, I'd show you. Zero, zero, zero. You get 6 zeros and run them across there. Go get 9 zeros and put them across there. You got 9. And what's 9 zeros amount to? 0. But you put 1 in front of them, and it becomes a big, big number. And that's the way we are. We're all a bunch of zeros without Christ. And Christ is the only thing that makes us worth anything. Ain't that right? He's the only one that makes us worth anything. Oh, bless. You know, Paul wrote, I'm the least of the least of saints. And I believe every believer feels that about himself. I talked about fruit this morning. And I felt like such a hypocrite preaching on fruit when I don't have any. I don't have any. I just feel like I don't have any at all. Feel like such a hypocrite. But I do know this. If they have any fruit, God's got to produce it. God's got to produce it. And oh my, that's why the scripture says we walk, we live by faith, and we walk by what? By faith. We don't walk by sight. And oh, let me tell you something else. Not only the way of faith in Christ, but secondly, the way of the obedience of Christ. You know, I want you to look with me in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. This is where, and this is the way we are. I down in verse chapter 4, this is where Christ apprehends Paul on the road to Damascus. And I tell you, Christ is our master. And when you have a master as good as our Lord, you have a master as sweet and as kind and as gracious and merciful and tender and pitiful as he is, as he is, oh my, he's our master, and it's the way of obedience to our master. Look what is said here in verse 4. You know, Paul's threatening out slaughters to the church, and he's on his way to get some men and women and children and bring them to Jerusalem and put them in jail. And oh, as he journeyed, it says there in verse 3, and as he journeyed and came near Damascus, suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. Can you imagine? I mean, this man he's a mean man. And there's a light shines so bright that he fell to the earth. It didn't say he jumped to the earth. He fell to the earth. Ain't that what it says? And he heard a voice. A light, and then he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Who are you? You have to be a Lord. You have to have some power. You have to be almighty to blind me and put me in the dirt and lay me off down here in the dust. Lay me in the dirt, causing me to fall. And I, Lord, said, I'm going to tell you who I am. I am Jesus. Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Oh, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, this is the way we are. What would you have me do? What would you have me to do? Huh? Oh, my. And I tell you what, our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what he does when he saves us. The first thing we ask, Lord, what? Oh, God, what would you have me to do? And the believers, like his father Abraham, when he was called to go out, he didn't know where he's going. When God calls us, the first thing we say, oh, Lord, please be my guide. Lord, please guide me. Lord, don't let me be against you. And be like Samuel. When Samuel was laying as a little boy and God was calling him, and he went and asked Eli if Eli was doing, he said, no, go lay down. And he said, the next time he calls you, say, Lord, here am I. And that's the way we say, Lord, here am I. I'm here. Have mercy on me, Lord. Speak, Lord, I'm here. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. Oh, speak, Lord, thy servant hears. And I tell you, dear Shirley, my wife, this on the way home today, she said, when we go and hear the gospel, said it does something for us. We come in here in certain ways and certain attitudes and certain manners and things going on with us. And by the time we sit down and hear a little while, next thing you know, the world shut out for a little while. You know why we're here? Speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Oh, my. And here's the third thing about the ways of the believer, thy ways. The way of and trust of our Lord's providential rule. And what providence means is he governs. That's all it means. Providence, we talk about, there's people say, you know, that had to be the Lord's providence because of the way it come out. It's whatever way it comes out is the Lord's providence. You know, that means that he's governing things. He's ordering all things. That's what it means. And all over here in Romans, look over in Romans with me in chapter 8. You know, people, they say, boy, I tell you, the Lord's providence was so good to get me through this, and I tell you, it's good for that, and good for something else. But oh my, everything the Lord does, that providence just means that he declared the end from the beginning and he sends things our way. And everything he sends our way is exactly right. Exactly right. Look what he said here in Romans 8:28. And now everybody knows this verse. And we know, there are some things we actually know, that all things work. How many things? All things. All things. Everything that ever happens in our lives. Even when we was unconverted. I'm going to tell you this. When we was unconverted. You know, when we was kids and when we was young, it's a wonder we didn't destroy ourselves. I've done some of the dumbest things and ever, you know, everybody did. We thought that, man, I mean, and what in the world, why did it not destroy us? I wrecked so many cars and I done so many things, come through Vietnam and I all kinds of things. When I got I was in a big old sand pit one time in a gravel pit, and I was digging me a hole in a big old thing of sand, you know, big old pile of sand. I was gonna dig me a hole and get in that hole in that sand. I got in it, and the sand fell in on me. I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to smother to death. I went to dig it, dug my way back out of there. How stupid is it you're going to try to make a hole in sand, knowing that you build a house on sinking sand? But that's what I'm talking about. God, we didn't know it then, but everything that happened to us, God protected us. God preserved us. Whatever happened to us, all those things brought us to Christ. All those things brought us to trust Him. All those things taught us that God really does protect us. You know, he called them simple. Said, the Lord keeps the simple. Well, I mean that. I know He's keeping me. I know. But look what He said. We know that all things, and it works. It works. Things are working together. And it works together for good. Good, good to them that love God. And oh, who loves God? To them who are called according to His purpose. And oh my, look over here then in verse 17. This is what I'm talking about. You know, he said, and if children, then you're heirs. Heirs of God, join heirs with Christ. And if so be that we suffer with Him. Where did we suffer with Him? On the cross. And in His death, we suffered with Him that we may be also glorified together. And listen to this now. And I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. And everybody, one time or another, you're going to suffer. And I reckon that the sufferings of right now where we are and what now when we are, the not worthy at this present time to be compared. Don't even put it in the same column with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Oh my. You know, the believer, you know what the believer's heart attitude is? In all things, Lord, Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. Oh, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Wouldn't you rather be under His will and the counsel of His will rather than your will? Oh, yes, Lord. Put me under the counsel of Your will. I don't want mine. Don't want mine. I'll give you another thing. We're going to get down to a couple of things here. In the way of believer, and our ways, he said ways, plural ways, and this is, I think, the fourth way I've got. A believer's way and a Christian's way is a way of honesty, uprightness, and integrity. They are. Their way is honesty, uprightness, and integrity. You know, The scriptures tells us to live honestly with all men. Paul said, I have, up to this time, I've exercised myself to be without offense toward God or toward man. He said, I had to work at this. I had to work at this business of exercising my soul that I might not be offensive to God or offensive to men, that I might be no blood on my conscience. No blood on my conscience. And he says, you know, in Romans 12:17, he says, live honestly. Be honestly. Hebrews talks about be as honest in all things. And I'll tell you this, I know without a shadow of a doubt. Look with me in 2 Corinthians 8:21. And that's, you know, this is the way we are. A believer's an honest man. I believe he's an honest man. Look down at verse 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, God knows, but also in the sight of men. Be honest before God, be honest before men. You know, the believer's an honest man. I believe he's an honest man. I believe he's an honest man in all things. As much as is in him can be, he wants to be honest. And I tell you, he pays his bills. He speaks the truth. He walks uprightly. And I tell you, a man that's untrustworthy and not honest. I heard, Dear Henry Mahan, I love him, love him, loved him, still love him. And there was a preacher come around and he said, boy, said, I caught him in a couple lies and I don't want nothing to do with him. Cut him off, caught him in a couple lies. I was talking to a lady here a while back and she had no problem lying. She had no problem lying. Didn't have any problem at all telling a lie. Well, I had to say that to say this, and I'd done that to say this, and, you know, there is no excuse for a lie. People say there's a white lie. There's no such animal. A lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. And people start lying to you, you can't trust them. If I lied to you about things that I was done or things that I was going to do or that not, you wouldn't trust me after a while. You wouldn't trust me after a while. I remember Bruce Daly years and years ago. Bless his heart. I love him. Oh, my goodness, what a precious man he was. But years ago, when we were starting to try to get money together to buy this land, build up here, he come to me and talked to me and said, you know, I don't like to talk about money. I don't think we need to be putting people in debt and all this stuff and everything. And you know what I said to him? I said, now, Bruce, I said, you trust me with your soul. You trust me with your soul. Standing up here preaching the gospel to you, you'll trust me with your soul, but you won't trust me to make decisions about what this church is going to go and the directions it's going to go and the things it wants to do and needs to do. He said, oh, my. Sorry, forgive me. He said, do whatever you want to do. But that's the difference. If a person will trust me with their soul, then they wouldn't trust me to make decisions about other things, temporal things. And that's what we're talking about. A believer's honest. And I'll tell you, the first thing he is, he starts being honest with God. Oh, to be honest with God. We got to be honest with God. I mean, we have to open ourselves up to God. We got to be honest with God. And we have to deal honestly with His Word. With His Word. Every once in a while, that Word, you know, He calls it a sword. It'll cut you this way, and then it'll cut you back that way. It's got sharp edges on both sides. It'll get you going and get you coming. Trim you up. And that's, every once in a while, we need a trimming. And He's the one that has to do the trimming. It's the Word that does it. And oh my, we're honest with His Word. If His Word condemns us, we're condemned. If His Word assures us, we're assured. If His Word instructs us, we're instructed. If He rebukes us, we're rebuked. And we don't say, it's the Lord. And oh, we're honest. Try our dead level best to be honest with souls. And old Barnard said one time, God don't send honest men to hell. And He doesn't. A man is honest. Honest with God, honest with His Word. And oh my, let me give you another one of our ways. The way of giving ourselves to Christ and giving ourselves to God for His glory. You know, we give ourselves away. I've said this so many times. We get up of a morning and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours again. You know, we have so much flesh and so many things wrong with it that we have to give ourselves to Christ over and over and over. And we do it for His glory, for the glory of God. Oh, my. Paul, you know, he talked about that. You know, doing all things for the glory of God. And Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, I beg you, I beseech you by the mercies of God. What a motive for the mercies of God that you present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, not a dead one, a living sacrifice. And don't you be conformed to this world, but you be renewed in your mind and in your spirit. Oh, a believer is a person whose heart and life is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. People say all the time, you need to make Christ prior. You need to make church and you need to make the gospel and you need to make Christ number one, the priority in your life. You make Him priority, then God will make you priority. Well, that's only one thing wrong with that. That's not true. Oh, my. The believer in his heart and in his soul is giving himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the scripture says? When Christ, who is our life, Christ our life, when He appears, He's going to appear. When He appears, we're going to appear with Him. Going to show up with Him. Where are we going to appear with Him? In His glory. But Christ is our life. We don't give Him first place. We don't give Him priority. He's our life. He Himself is our life. You take Christ away from us, and what do we have? What do we got left? You take Christ from us, and what do we got? Oh, Christ Himself is, and that's why, Lord, we pray that, Lord, please, oh, will my heart, my soul, everything be given over to You. Oh, my. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that liveth, but it's Christ in me, that live by the faith of the Son of God. And listen to this. He loved me and gave Himself for me. Oh, my. And I tell you, we want to. If we could do anything perfectly, you know what it'd be? It'd be a perfect conformity and commitment to Christ and hold back nothing. And one of these blessed days, that's the way it's going to be. There'll be no sin involved in it. And if we could, that's why Paul said, the will's present with me. I've got it. But how in the world to perform it? That's another story. But we got the will. But oh, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful? But I know this, that our giving ourselves to Christ and giving ourselves away to Christ and committing ourselves to Christ, it's not perfect by no stretch of the imagination, but it's sincere and it's growing. And then I hate to say things like this, but it needs to be said. And I hope you think I'm not chiding you in any way. But the way, one of our ways is that we are not of the world. We're separated from the world. This world is not our home. We're like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We dwell in tents. Oh, my. This world is not our home. You know, the believer willingly separates him from the things of this world. And what are some of the things of this world? Well, in the ways of the world. The world is so ambitious after recognition, ambitious after power, ambitious after materialism, ambitious after recognition. And to be somebody in this world, people name drop all the time. Oh, my, I know this, I know that, and I've met this fellow, that fellow, and this fellow, and all that fellow, and all that. But oh, my, this world, you have to, I know you got to go to work and you have to deal with people in the world. But whenever they talk religion, it's a grief to you, ain't it? It's a grief. It hurts you. And then in politics, we was at a shindig yesterday in Deer Creek. They had a picnic yesterday, and some folks wanted to get off on politics, you know, and everything. And this one fellow said, can we let politics go just today alone, not get into that? All politics, you know, it starts a fight. I know what I know the way I am, and I know the way you are. But let's leave it out of the church. Leave it out of our fellowship. And you know, we don't want the ways of the world. We don't want the ways of the world. The ways of this world is avarice, corruptness, lies, deception, and corruption. Paul called it an evil world. God saved us from this evil world. And oh my, the people of the world. Oh my. And I'll tell you something else. This is where we really want to be separate from the religion of the world. The religion of the world. A dear, do you know Caleb Hickman up in Pennsylvania? They've told him that they're going to keep his sermons and that they've said that they're not going to play his messages anymore. They've blocked him on sermon audio. You know, and what in the world's going on? Whenever that's supposed to be a place to hear preachers, and they've blocked him, so he has to go to another place. And I said, he said he's going to appeal, and he's going to talk to him about it. But somebody tried to get on and try to find me the other day to hear me preach and said we couldn't find him on there either, said he wasn't available. Religion is hell. I mean, it's hellish. It's hellish. Oh, my. And I tell you, I don't want to be. James said it this, he that's a friend of the world, a friend of the world, is the enemy of God. You know what all this world's about? The lust of the flesh. I want, 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 I want. The pride of life. You know what the pride of life is? Look at me, look at me, look at me. Look what I've accomplished, look what I've done. Huh? Oh, pride of life is... That means that you're proud of your life. You're proud of your accomplishments. You're proud of who you are. You're proud of your race. You're proud of your face. You're proud of everything you've ever done. And then the lust of the eyes. And you know what the lust of the eyes is? Same thing as pride of life. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look what I am. Look who I am. Oh, my. Well, you reckon that'll work? I hope. You know, I ain't talked about the world and I don't know how long. But this world, I tell you what, it's not really our home. We're pilgrims. We're pilgrims and strangers in this world. David said, I'm a stranger just like my father was. You know, I go visit my family, and me and Shirley, wait till we talk about it, said, 2 hours is a long time. They're ready for us to go, and we're ready to go. You can only talk about old times for so long. They only want to hear, be around you for so long. You know why? Because we're in different worlds. The believer and the world are in different realms. The believer, he lives in this spiritual world. He lives in this world where Christ is everything, and the world is in this place where self is everything. Pride is everything. Accomplishment's everything. Ambition is everything. Your job title's everything. And then let me give you the last one. Our ways, that ways, oh Lord, give his angels charge over it. That's the way of the cross. The way of the cross. You know what the cross means? When you talk about a cross, the way of the cross, you know what the cross represents? It represents death and shame. And our Lord said, except a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, he ain't got no part in me. And so the cross means that death. Paul said, I've got the sentence of death in myself. And that cross, you know, we're following Christ and his blessed cross. That's the way of death. It's the way of shame. It's the way of rejection. And oh my, we died with Christ. We have this, you know, that cross means that, you know, we don't care what anybody thinks. That cross, God forbid that I glory in anything but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the believer willingly takes up his cross and follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Follows. I'm dead to this world. I'm dead to its opinions. I'm dead to its ways. I'm dead to its religion. And oh my, we take up our cross and follow our master. Day by day by day by day. Cost or consequences. He seeks to do the will of his Lord and putting all things into subjection to him. Subjection to him. I started out with faith in him and followed him. And oh, what a privilege, what a blessing, what a mercy, what a grace. What sovereign mercy, what sovereign grace that God would come to us and allow us to know him. Be privileged to have that cross. Be blessed to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all that matters in this world, is our relationship with him. Father, thank you for your great and abundant mercies given us in Christ. Oh, Lord, blessed be your holy name. There's no one like you, no one like you in mercy, grace, love, compassion, pity. And oh, Lord, we thank you that you promised us, Lord, that you'd keep us and that one day you'd come after us and take us to be with you where you are. And Lord, that's why we want to be with you here. We want to walk with you here. We want to be under subjection to you here. For you to be our master, to be our Lord. And Lord, save us from ourselves. Save us from this world. Save us from everything that's unlike you. Renew our faith, our love, everything, our commitment, everything I spoke about tonight, Lord. Renew our commitment to our Savior. Forgive us of everything that's so unlike you. God bless these dear saints. Lord, encouraging them, uphold them, and meet the needs of their home, meet the needs of their hearts. And Lord, have mercy upon our children and grandchildren. Lord, do for them what you've done for us. Go to them and find them and save them like you found us and saved us by your grace. We bless you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plead. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, redemption sure and sure, he is all I need. Amen. See you Wednesday, God willing.